Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, December the 11th, a religious brother in Aleppo describes the situation in the capital city after rebels took control. The U.S. bishops launch an appeal for President Biden to commute the sentences of the 40 men on death row. But first, Cardinal Parolin touches on the hope of the Syrian people that respect, dialogue, and harmony will emerge. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, is in Milan, Italy, for an event at the Università Cattolica del Sacro Cuore and the ceremony of the Al-Issa Research Award for Arab-Islamic Studies. On the sidelines of the event, the cardinal commented on the situation in Syria in response to journalists' questions, remarking how quickly the change happened and the scenarios that are emerging with the hope of respect for all, dialogue, and harmony. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Secretary of State, expressed concern over how quickly things unfolded in Syria, where a regime that seemed so solid was swept away. His hope is that those who take power can create a system respectful of everyone. He was speaking just days following the fall of President Assad at the hands of rebels, while now in Damascus, the nation's government palace hosts meetings to form a new transitional government. Cardinal Parolin is in Milan, Italy, for a meeting at the Università Cattolica del Sacro Cuore, entitled Studies for Dialogue, Al-Issa Research Award for Arab-Islamic Studies, during which a research grant promoted by the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, Muhammad Al-Issa, will be presented for young researchers focusing on Arab-Islamic culture. The rapid developments in Syria offered a good opportunity to continue building bridges with the Muslim world, Cardinal Parolin commented, speaking with journalists who asked for his reaction about the current situation. And he said there are cautious hopes for a system open and respectful for all. He said, let us now see what scenarios unfold. He added that we've had some indications about respect for Christian communities, and so we really hope that there can be a future of respect for all. The hope is that those who've come to power will try to create a regime that is open to and respectful of everyone. The Holy See continues its work of dialogue and diplomacy, though it does not have formal roles, the cardinal clarified. He said that in Ukraine, for example, there are no formal negotiations that had been initiated, but the Holy See responds to all situations to look for conditions that favor dialogue and problem-solving, such as ceasefire agreements, the release of prisoners, and humanitarian aid. He said these are all areas in which we are actively engaged. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Aleppo, Syria's second largest city, has been under the administration of Islamist rebels since November 29th. Maoist brother George Sabeh, who is in Aleppo, spoke to Vatican Radio about the situation on the ground there.
I'm here to bring good news. I'm reassured. That was the voice of Maoist brother George Sabeh speaking to Vatican Radio from Aleppo. His voice was calm and relaxed over the phone. Our days are very similar to what they were before the rebels arrived, he explains. People are out on the street. Most shops are open, although schools and universities haven't started up again quite yet. Most importantly, he adds, there is a genuine calm in the city. After the rebels took Aleppo, Christians celebrations were initially halted. However, they resumed for the second Sunday of Advent and the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I hope we will now be considered citizens equal to all others, says Brother Sabeh. We don't want to be second-class citizens or protected minorities. We want to be truly equal citizens. Brother Sabeh is also heartened by the return of many who had fled when rebels entered the city. Thousands of Syrians abroad are also making their way back home, with some children setting foot on Syrian soil for the first time in their lives. It's a hopeful sign to see people wanting to return and invest in their country and finally come back to their homes, says Brother Sabeh. Over 13 years of war, approximately 13 million people, or 60% of Syria's population, have been displaced, with 6.6 million forced to leave the country. Asked about the rapid fall of the Damascus regime and his expectations for the future, Brother Sabeh expresses cautious optimism. This is a start. A new phase is beginning. I won't say that I'm fully hopeful, but hope is definitely starting to build. With wisdom and prudence, we will, I hope, rebuild our country.
That was George Sabeh speaking to Vatican Radio from Aleppo. Many thanks to Joseph Tulloch for that report. On December 10th, World Human Rights Day is observed to raise awareness of the basic liberties and rights that every person is entitled to, according to the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, irrespective of gender, nationality, ethnicity, race, or religion. As Lisa Zingarini reports, Pope Francis marked the day with a tweet on X, urging governments to listen to the cry for peace of the millions deprived of their most basic rights.
Marking Human Rights Day on Tuesday, Pope Francis reminded world leaders that our rights to life and peace are essential conditions for the exercise of all other rights. In a tweet posted on X, the Pope pleaded for governments to listen to the cry for peace of millions of people deprived of their most basic rights due to war, which he said is the mother of all poverty. His words echoed those of the European churches that urged leaders in Europe to fulfill their obligations under international law. In a statement, the leaders of the Conference of European Churches expressed gratitude for the progress made in protecting human rights over recent decades, but also deep concern over increasing instances of violations and neglect of fundamental human rights worldwide. Churches, as part of their mission, cannot remain silent in the face of brutal offences, systemic injustices, and the erosion of the rule of law and democracy, said the CEC's president, Archbishop Nikitas of Thyatira in Great Britain. Citing the ongoing wars in Ukraine and the Middle East and many other crises in the world, he said the European churches observe with distress how human rights of all people are coming under pressure. Violations of freedom of religion and belief, rising inequalities, discrimination, and violations of the rights of refugees, migrants, asylum seekers, and displaced persons remind us of the fragility of these achievements, he said. CEC's General Secretary, Reverend Frank-Dieter Fischbach, therefore urged European governments and institutions to recommit to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and fulfill obligations and international law. For their part, the European churches reaffirmed their commitment to standing alongside those who suffer and amplifying the call for protection of human dignity of every human being to be upheld and protected. I am Lisa Zengarini.
The bishops of the United States have launched an appeal for President Joe Biden to commute the sentences of the 40 men on federal death row before the end of his term. The move comes just a day after Pope Francis prayed for the commutation of death row inmates, as Devin Watkins reports.
As President Biden prepares to leave office, pleas urge him to commute all current federal death sentences to terms of imprisonment before his term ends. The U.S. bishops made that appeal on Monday to Americans on the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It came just a day after Pope Francis invited everyone to pray for inmates on death row in the United States.
Preghiamo perché la sua pena sia commutata, cambiata.
Let us pray that their sentence be commuted, changed, said the Pope at the Sunday Angelus prayer. Let us think of these brothers and sisters of ours and ask the Lord for the grace to save them from death. In their appeal, the U.S. bishops said President Joe Biden has an extraordinary opportunity to advance the cause of human dignity. The campaign website also offers Americans a contact form to assist them in writing to President Biden. The U.S. federal government has the power to seek capital punishment for a limited set of crimes, with most death sentences handed down by state courts. The bishops recalled their long-standing opposition to capital punishment, which dates back to 1974. The death penalty, they said, precludes the possibility for rehabilitation and reform, leads to extensive anguish for everyone involved, and involves the possibility of mistakes. A growing number of advocate groups have joined forces to urge President Biden to commute the federal death row. Speaking to Vatican Radio, the executive director of the Catholic Mobilizing Network, Chris Ann Valiancourt Murphy, said the outgoing president has the constitutional power and authority to commute the federal death row. Ms. Valiancourt Murphy noted that the jubilee overlaps with the end of President Biden's term.
And its history is tied into, you know, liberating the captives and setting the oppressed free and sort of bringing about a righting and a balancing of society. So this is one action that President Biden can take that's a legacy moment, that's in alignment with Catholic values and alignment with this historic jubilee year.
I'm Devin Watkins.
Following the assassination of an environmental activist in Honduras earlier this year, Latin American organizations, including the Bishops' Conference, launched a campaign called Life is Hanging On by a Thread, together with human rights defenders and social leaders whose mission is to care for the environment. Its goal is to coordinate actions that promote solidarity, protection, and recognition of the work of human rights defenders. The organizations are collaborating with the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development and the Pontifical Commission for Latin America. The head of the Dicastery, Cardinal Michael Czerny, spoke to Vatican Radio about the need to care for the common home and the challenges the Church faces in doing so.
The biggest challenge is always the same challenge, which is that to bring the Holy Father's teaching, the magisterium, into the daily life of every Catholic. And so we have the heroes and the martyrs whose deaths we lament so much, the most important task is to bring Laudato Si, Laudate Deum, Fratelli Tutti into every parish, into the heart of every parishioner. Our job is to support and to accompany, and where we can help, we are glad to help. But we're very happy to see a local church, in this case the Church in America, in Latin America, creating and taking up this very important initiative. Every question that we ask nowadays, we should also ask it from the point of view of the Jubilee, where we are pilgrims of hope, and ask ourselves, so for example, in the case of ecology, the care of our common home, where can I contribute to greater hope?
An estimated 9 million children are out of school across Ethiopia. Following a visit to the Tigray region last week, which is recovering from a three-year conflict that brought education to a halt, Education Cannot Wait Executive Director Yasmin Sheriff told UN News it's essential to keep young people in a safe school environment. Sheriff warned that without access to the classroom, boys and girls are more vulnerable to forced recruitment, child marriage, and gender-based sexual violence.
With education, you provide both a pathway for the future for these children, because if they're not educated, their future looks very bleak, but also it's a protection mechanism. The children, if they don't go to school, they will fall prey for child soldiers or joining militant groups. The girls will be subjected to early child marriage and unwanted pregnancies, sexual gender-based violence. So it's both a pathway for the future and it's also a protection mechanism.
Close to 18% of schools in the country are destroyed or damaged. What else can you share with us from what you have seen so far?
What we can see is you see a recovery phase here, where schools have been either rebuilt from scratch or repaired and rehabilitated. You see children and adolescents, and I would also like to stress early childhood development, preschool children and their parents, they're returning to school. You have trained teachers now. You have school supplies. And you have a very good curriculum that places an emphasis on peace and peaceful conflict resolution. Very impressive, besides the academic learning of mathematics, also learning in art and sports. So we are in a recovery period, and the results are quite striking.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina and Joseph Tulloch in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.